Chapter 12 this morning, John chapter 12. I appreciate you being here. Let's dive into the Word of God and ask God to speak to our hearts. John chapter 12, I'm preaching on the opening 11 verses if you're keeping notes with me as we travel through this passage together. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead and whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but for that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. The chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now when I'm preaching through the gospel accounts, when I preached in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if the other gospel accounts preached on that same story, I preached it in one message. And I've already preached on the whole story when I preached through the book of Matthew. But today the Lord drew my attention in my study this week to something different. In other words, if you want the entire sermon, you can go back and get it from Matthew and you say, when did I preach that? I don't know. So you'll just have to try to figure it out. I'm just going to allude to what I preached on in the introduction, but I want to give you something completely different as far as a different avenue of approaching this text that the Lord laid on my heart. You'll notice in the opening 3 verses that Jesus Christ comes to Bethany and comes into a particular house. And while he's there, they make him a supper. Jesus came to supper that night. And this morning I want to preach to you on this subject. When Jesus is in the house, when Jesus is in the house, let's pray. I share this thought with you. Father, we thank you for this service. And I pray this morning that as these precious people look this way, that they don't see me or hear me, but that they see and hear you. Lord, this message that you've laid on my heart, would you preach it? Would you guide my words? May everything that's said and the spirit in which it's given be well-pleasing in your sight. Forgive my sin. May I truly be a clean vessel, a clean preacher. And may nothing hinder your spirit from having free reign. Challenge us today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage before us, we see the Lord Jesus Christ came back to Bethany, where Lazarus was that he had raised from the dead. The Lord went into a house where supper was made for him, and while in that house, Mary came and anointed the Lord's feet with a very expensive ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Judas Iscariot accused Mary of wasting that ointment on the Lord, saying the money could have been given to the poor. But the Word of God wants us to know that he didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but rather because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. In other words, he wanted to sell that ointment and keep some of the money for himself. By the way, this is not the message, but even though he tried to hide his wicked motives from the Lord with what seemed like a worthy cause, the Lord knew this man's heart. And he knows mine as well. And he knows yours as well. As I was studying this passage of Scripture, the Lord laid on my heart the privilege it was for that house to have the Lord Jesus Christ come inside of it for supper that day. And as we watch this scene unfold, with the Lord in the house, The Lord brings our attention to a family, a brother and two sisters, that he mentions by name. It's Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. Their names are these family members that we saw in chapter number 11 when Lazarus was raised from the dead and Martha and Mary sent for Jesus. Each one of these three family members, interesting, did something different with the Lord in the house that day that all of us can apply to our lives. I submit to you that what these three individuals from this one family did with Jesus in the house is what everyone here needs to do individually and as a family in our own homes. If you're a child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is in your house. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God lives inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. If you are saved, you are God's house. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple, or the dwelling place, or the house of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we?" We are his house if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. May I say this to you by means of introduction? It's a privilege to have Jesus in the house. And what I'm doing here is we're going to look at these three family members. Martha, what she did with the Lord in the house. Lazarus, what he did with the Lord in the house. And Mary, what she did with the Lord in the house. And we're going to apply it this way. If you're saved, the house is you. And these same three things I need to be doing with the Lord in my house. But we're also going to apply this to our own families because it's a beautiful picture of a brother and two sisters collectively as a family doing something together with the Lord in the house. So I'm applying this to our individual lives. I'm talking about if you're saved, your body, and then also applying it to your own house that you're going to go home to in a little while and what that house should do when Jesus is in it. Everybody with me where I'm going with this? Let me give you three simple things today. This is so simple, it's ridiculous. But these are things that the Lord received in this house, and He's searching to receive the same thing in your house today. First of all, here it is, Martha served Him. Martha served Him. We see this in verse 2. Notice this now. "There they made Him a supper." Notice this, "and Martha served." The first family member mentioned that day with Jesus in the house was Martha. And it simply says, Martha served. You know what this word serve means? It means she waited upon. It means she attended. She ministered that day. Let me ask you a question. Who was the supper made for? The Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible says. They made Him a supper. In verse number 2, "There they made Him a supper." So who was Martha serving here? Martha was spending her time serving the Lord Jesus in the house. Let me say, it is a privilege to spend your life just serving Jesus. Now, this is simple, I know. A life of service to Jesus is a life worth living. A house where Jesus is present should be a house where Jesus is served. Let me say that again. A house where Jesus is present is a house where Jesus is to be served. You realize people can serve Jesus in different ways? Don't ever fall prey that if you can't preach, you can't serve, or if you can't sing, you can't serve. That's not the way God looks at it. God has so many different ways that we can serve Him. And friends, Harry Ironside told of a story. He said he heard once of a dear old brother. He was an old saint who belonged to a group who ran a little mission hall. This old saint, he was an older man, wanted to preach, but he had no gift for it. He helped open up this mission hall. In other words, he helped get it going, but he wanted to preach, but he just didn't have that gift. This man used to go down there after his office closed on Saturday at noon, and he would roll up his trousers and take a bucket of water and brush and clean the chairs and scrub the floor. No one of the rest of the company knew of his service. You know how careless people are. They never think to ask who did the cleaning. Even here, you go into the restroom. Excuse me, but there's toilet paper there. Somebody had to put it there. Somebody vacuumed this carpet. Somebody keeps the trash out of the pews. Somebody drives the buses. Somebody puts gas in the buses, diesel in the buses. You know how careless people can be. But it happened one day that a couple of the young men went over in the afternoon to get some songbooks from the mission. And just as they opened the door, they saw the old man scrubbing away. They threw up their hands and said, "Oh, we never knew you were doing this. You must not do this. We will scrub the floor," because of his age, you see. He was old and they didn't want him to do that. "Oh," he said, and here's what he said, "please let me do it for Jesus' sake." He pleaded not to be robbed of the privilege of doing it for the glory of Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? This is only a supper, only one meal that Jesus partook of during his years upon earth. And the Holy Spirit of God inspired it to be included in John chapter 12. It doesn't seem like much. All she's doing is setting the table, bringing food to it. But the Holy Spirit of God, I want you to put in there, "You tell people that at that supper, Martha served me." Friends, the Word of God says in Joshua 24:15, "If it seem evil," this is Joshua speaking, "if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my," what? "My house." When Jesus is in the house, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Psalm 100 verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." 1 Samuel 12:24, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He had done for you." If you're a child of God, determine that your house, you as His dwelling place, as a child of God, your house, and then your physical house that you live in, talking about with your family, whether it's just you or whether it's you and your mate, whether it's you and your children, you and your grandchildren, whatever, whoever's in your house, determine it's going to be a house that's going to be like Martha, who's going to serve Jesus. Martha served Him. Number two, Lazarus sat with Him. We see this in verse number two. Notice this. "There they made Him a supper, and Martha served." But notice this, "but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him." Martha served Him. Lazarus sat down with Him. The second family member mentioned in that house that day with the Lord Jesus was Lazarus. And it simply says he was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus. This means Lazarus was in company with the Lord and just sat down with Him. Now imagine the privilege for Lazarus to sit down at the table with the one who gave him new life. Now do you know where I'm going with this? I mean, if Jesus hadn't stepped in, he's dead. But Jesus stepped in and resurrected him from the dead, and now Jesus is going to allow him to come close. Jesus is going to allow him to sit down with him. Jesus is going to allow him to eat with him. In the same way, if Jesus is in your house, you and I ought to just take time to sit down. Just sit down and fellowship and commune with Him around the table. It's a blessing to be able to sit down with Jesus and feast. The point here is there should be some time every day that we are found sitting with the Lord, fellowship, communing, and feasting. We need this time of just sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder today, are you sitting with Jesus daily around the table? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, another story about Mary and Martha here. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Now this is a different passage now. This is not the same passage. The Lord is not rebuking her for serving in this passage, but he is for this one. Listen to this. "She was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." May I say this to you, and many of you, maybe all of you know what I'm talking about. Life is a rat race. Many times we go through days of our God-given lives wondering how we're ever going to get it all done. Have you ever been there? How in the world am I ever going to get all this done? Several times I've said in jest that I have so much to do that it seems that as if the pile doesn't get any smaller. I've even adopted the statement that I'm busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger. Now think about that statement. A one-armed wallpaper hanger. I wonder, have you ever been so busy that you didn't take time to sit down with Jesus? The portion of Scripture hits the nail right on the head concerning the busyness of our everyday lives and service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, one would think that the Lord would say that there are so many things He desires us to do. Going back to the portion in Luke where Martha's cumbered about serving and Mary just sitting at His feet. But He makes it clear in that text that one thing is needful. You know what the word needful means there? It means necessary. One thing's necessary. One thing's an absolute essential. And that one thing is time just sitting at His feet. I want to ask you a question. In your house, your body, if you're saved, and then the members in your home, your house, where you're going to here in just a little while, your house, are you sitting with Jesus like Lazarus? Martha served Him. Lazarus sat down with Him. And then third and finally, Mary sanctified Him. Now you say, what's that mean? The word sanctify means, among many things, it means to enshrine, it means to glorify, it means to set apart, and it means to worship. That's what it means. Now you and I may think of the word sanctify as being clean. You see what I'm saying? That's the meaning of it. But that word can also mean to set something apart, to worship, to glorify, to enshrine. To set something apart is very special. And that's exactly what Mary did with Jesus in the house. We see it in verse number 3. Notice this. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." This is what Mary was doing with the Lord in the house. This particular supper is recorded also in Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 13, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. And when you put these accounts together, you see a beautiful scene unfolding that we can all glean from. Now get this. As you think about verse number 3 there, and then when you read, if you so choose to later, the parallel accounts in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, when you read all of it together, here's what happens. While the Lord is sitting there at meat, there came a woman. John identifies her name. Matthew and Mark does not, just calls her a woman. Her name is Mary. She has an alabaster box of spikenard, a very precious and costly ointment, the Bible says. It's been said that spikenard was the most costly anointing oil then in existence. that was used to anoint kings, royalty. One man said the strong scented ointment was imported at great cost and sold for a small fortune. Now, Judas Iscariot in our text said the amount that she used on the Lord could have been sold for 300 pence. When you study that out, that was equivalent pretty much to a year's salary for a normal rural worker of that day. Now imagine having a box of ointment for more than likely your own use, your own burial. It was for her more than likely. Very costly. And it takes an entire year's salary to pay it off. And it's sitting there. And it's paid for. A year's work. She takes that box when the Lord came in her home. And she broke it. By the way, that box cost some money too. That's just another expense. And she takes this ointment. And when you see the picture together, she anoints his head. And then here in John chapter 12, she takes it and anoints his feet. And then she loosens her hair. Do you see her? Do you see Mary coming into that room where Jesus is? By the way, I'm going somewhere with this. And she takes that year's salary in a box. And her glory is on her head. Because see, the Bible says that the glory of the woman is her hair. And back in this day especially, her glory was her hair. And she comes to the Lord and she breaks the box and she puts it on his head and she puts it on his feet and she takes her own glory and she wipes his feet with her glory. Something of her best. And she wipes his feet. The same Mary is mentioned three times in the Word of God. And all three times, you know where she's at? She's at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, what I just read, she is at his feet listening to his word. In John chapter 11, verses 28 to 32, which I preached on last Sunday morning, she is at his feet crying over her brother's death. And here in John chapter 12, she is at his feet worshiping him. Warren Wiersbe said she found at his feet her blessing. That's in Luke chapter 10. She brought to his feet her burden. That's John chapter 11. And she gave at his feet her best. That's John chapter 12. This is what this passage is all about. This dear woman loved the Lord so much that she came to his feet to worship, adore, and gift him with the very best she had to offer. She was seizing her opportunity here to do something for Jesus Christ. She was giving her all to him. She was showing by this act that she had thoughts for nobody but him. She gladly spent all she had on him. Spurgeon said she thus showed that there was at least one heart in the world that thought nothing was too good for her Lord, and that the best of the best ought to be given to him. Somebody said the essence of worshiping Christ is to regard him with utmost love, utmost respect, utmost devotion, and to be willing to sacrifice to him what is most precious. One man said genuine worship never counts the cost. One man said, not only did Mary here express her own love, but she bore witness to the inestimable value of the person of Christ. But she came, and that too, at the moment when the world was expressing its deepest hatred of him. They were trying to contemplate how they're going to kill him. We've already preached on that, the latter part of chapter 11. The world hates Jesus. They can't stand Jesus, and they're expressing it. And it's at this time that this woman comes and takes her long treasured up treasure, something that was most valuable to her, all that she had upon earth and upon the person, the one who had made her heart be arrested, if you will. And she takes everything she has to offer. And she breaks it, and she anoints it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus only filled her soul. Her eyes were upon Him. Adoration, homage, worship, blessing was her one thought, and that in honor of the One who was all in all to her. May I tell you what it means to sanctify Jesus in your house? Here's the main thought. I told you I was going somewhere with this. Here's the main thought. He meant more to her than anything on earth. Anything. Nothing was more valuable to Mary than Jesus. Let me ask us all here a question. How valuable is Jesus Christ to you? Have you given Him all you have? Is He worth more to you than your alabaster box? May I say this to you? I don't have a box up here. Well, I do have a small one. Somebody gave this to me as a lunch pail, but forget this. What it looks like right now, and think to me that this is the alabaster box of woman. You with me? This is the most expensive thing that you have. This is all you have to offer Jesus. And it's very valuable. Everybody has one of these. Can I put it right there just a moment? Do you love Him more than what's in that box? That box could be your children. That box could be your mate. That box could be your job, could be your finances, could be your family, could be your health. I don't know what's in your box, but I know everybody has one. And what Mary was telling the Lord is, even though it was very costly, I'm going to break it because you mean so much more to me than that. John R. Rice said, Dr. Meyer, F.B. Meyer, says that once at the close of a missionary meeting, he proposed to the Christians gathered that they present to the Lord some special article which they held valuable as a token of their personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that in response to this appeal, many gave jewels, many gave ornaments and costly articles, which amounted to a great sum of money for the Lord's use. He said, we called them alabaster boxes of very precious ointment, and it was sweet to give them. But he said afterwards, after that meeting, so imagine Dr. Meyer getting up at a mission conference and saying, the alabaster box of ointment that Mary broke and gave to the Lord, very costly, very, very much, and all of this. I mean, it meant the world. All this guy meant a lot of money. And I want to challenge you to bring your alabaster box and give it to Jesus. People giving money, people giving jewels, people giving all these things. But after that meeting, he received a message, a letter. It was written from a lady who was a widow. She had lost her husband. And she said this. She said, I have long withheld my consent for my daughter to become a missionary. But now I'm not going to stand in her way any longer. And that dear widow said, and I quote, well, Dr. Meyer, telling the story, said, and I quote, she gave her daughter to him as her precious offering. Let me ask you a question. What is your alabaster box of ointment? God, I'll give you anything. I don't know if I'm willing to let my son or my daughter go across the seas. God, I'll give you anything. As long as you let me stay here and do it. God, I'll give you anything, but whatever comes after the but there is your alabaster box. And is he more valuable to you than that? There's a poem that says, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? On that particular day, the Lord Jesus Christ was in that house. What a privilege. Do you agree with that? Amen. Out of all the houses that were in that place on that particular day in John chapter 12, he graced that house with his presence. He stepped into that house. What a blessing. What a privilege. And while he was there, Martha was there. Lazarus was there. Mary was there. Martha spent her time just serving him. Lazarus spent his time just sitting down at the table with him. Mary spent her time sanctifying him by letting him know that he's the most valuable possession that she had. What's the message? King Jesus lives inside of me. The precious Holy Spirit of God. God lives in me. And I am his house. And may he find a Martha in this house. May he find a Lazarus in this house. May he find a Mary in this house. And I announce to my home, my wife's not feeling well today. She's home and she's listening. And I want to give her honor because I believe that our house is a house where Jesus is served. But I want it to be a house where our people, our children, my wife and I, take a seat. And may Jesus, when he visits the Jenkins household, find our alabaster boxes broken, laying at his feet, saying, you mean more to us than anything or anybody on earth. Can I get real with you just a moment? I know a preacher's to get up and he's to be encouraging, encouraging, encouraging. The last week and a half, I've been struggling. My heart has been discouraged. I've been in a battle, spiritual warfare. And God has challenged me. I'm still there, boy. And I still want to use you. Just keep plowing, keep going. And I want him to know that I want to serve him the rest of my days. And I want to sit down with him every day of my life And I want to set him apart and let him know once again that he means more to me than anything or anybody on earth. I'm not saying I've been struggling because of sin. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about the devil just trying to stop me, trying to discourage me, trying to discourage my heart. You ever been there, by the way? God has his way of giving you what you need, and I need this today. Jesus is in the house. Let's serve him. Let's sit with him. And let's set him apart as the one and only object of worship in our lives. And if you're here today and Jesus is not in your house, he wants to come in today. Will you let him? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Help us with these thoughts on what Martha and Lazarus and Mary did with Jesus in the house. Help us to do all three in our house with Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Thank you for listening so well. I ask you some questions this morning. Question number one. Is Jesus in your house? I'm asking, are you a child of God? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Do you know without a doubt you are going to heaven? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad to announce today Jesus is in my house. I have trusted him. I am washed in his blood. I am believing in him. I have trusted him and him alone. I am going to heaven. There's no doubt. I am heaven bound. Have you know that for sure? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. You can put your hand down. If you could not raise your hand to that question, there is a time when we who can, could not. And you are not alone. If you're here today and you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not even sure Jesus is in my house. But I sure want to invite him in today. I want to open my heart's door and let him come in today. I don't think he's in, but or maybe you know he's not, but you want him to be. Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you, would you quietly, quickly raise your hand, put it right back down. Anybody like that at all? You say, pray for me. I want Jesus in my house. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I'm just not sure he's in the house, but I sure want him to be. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. If you raise your hand to that question, or maybe you know you should have, in just a moment we're going to have what we call an invitation. If you're a man, we want to put a man with you. If you're a lady, we want to put a lady with you. And let somebody take a Bible and share with you how Jesus can come into your house. I hope you'll let him. I hope you'll come. Let him come in today. Maybe today say, Jody, Jesus in my house. But boy, God is speaking to my heart in one of these three points. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Maybe you say, Jody, he's speaking to my heart in the first point in serving him. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Yes, God bless you. Maybe he's speaking to your heart in the second point, just sitting with him, taking time to slow down and just sit down and commune with him. Raise your hand in the air with mine. God bless you. That's many of you. Maybe it's the third point. Mary taking her alabaster box of ointment, breaking it. God putting it in his word as a memorial for her. What did he say in the other passage? He said, this that she's done will be spoken of her as a memorial wherever this gospel is preached. And you say, Jody, God spoke to me about my alabaster box. And today I want to take it and break it for Jesus Christ. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Yes, that's several of you. God bless you. If you raised your hand to anything, if you're lost and need to be saved, or if you want to serve Him, God spoke to you in that way, or if you need to sit with Him more, or if you need to just sanctify Him and break your alabaster box for Him, if you raised your hand to anything, would you lift your eyes and look at me just a moment? Anything you raise your hand to, look right up here at me. If you are saved and you are a believer and you are a Christian, I want you to come. It helps lost people come. But if you're looking at me right now and you say, I need to invite Jesus in my house, you're among friends. Don't let the devil lie to you. Say, that's 2 miles up there. No, it's not. Just a few steps. What are they going to think about you? Here's what we'll think about you. We'll rejoice with you that you're going to make the decision that we made to trust Christ as our Savior. Amen. You come and let us take a Bible and share with you how Jesus can live in you. And then spend the rest of your day serving Him, sitting with Him, sanctifying Him. Please. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help people to respond. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come
you
now?
Have longed. Now's your time. For sweet peace.
Now's your time. You say, I need to be saved. I need to know that Jesus is in my life, that He's in my house. Come, please. Please. Please.
But
now's your time.
Have rest.
Now's your time.
Or be perfectly
come.
Blessed.
Do the right thing. You'll be glad you did. Come on. Come on. May the Lord help you.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and
give the Lord time. If you're still standing, I want you to look here just a moment. We'll have you bow your head again in a moment to give people time to come. You may not remember anything I say today, but you'll remember that little lunchbox, won't you? What's it stand for? It's an alabaster box of very costly ointment. But that's nothing in comparison to Jesus, right? Give it to Him. Break it for Him. I want to give somebody who may be still be lost another opportunity. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head one more time and close your eyes. Ask Brother Gary to sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, we'll be coming to a close. As he sings, now's your time. Would you do it?
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
I want to do something here as we come to a close. We are dealing with people at the altar. And I want to give them respect and time. So as we pray, I'm going to ask you to quietly kind of leave the auditorium. Be back tonight at 6:30 for preaching. Let's give these folks some time, okay? Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Daniel, I'm going to have you go to the back, okay? That would be great. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Brother Joe, Sherry, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, sir, please. Thank you.